serve. Amen? Amen. I was just about to have a fit. So,
hey, listen, on your way in this morning, you were giving a couple of things. One was a church directory card. Whether you're a guest or whether you're a member here, we would love for you to fill this out. We're trying to build our database and update our information. And so if you would fill that out, and if some of you already did, drop those in the offer plate. We appreciate that. If you have not, make sure you get one before you leave here today. And then secondly, and I think more importantly, you were given one of these. Everybody have one of these? If you have one, hold it up, okay? This is it's a bookmark. It's a prayer guide. It's a 30-day prayer guide. Who's your one? Every one of us know at least one person who needs to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Churches all across the United States have participated in this 30-day prayer that our friends would come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I have a video that I want you to watch this morning. And so watch this video, and then I'm going to come back and finish sharing this morning, okay? We have a video to watch. Okay.
We pass through human optic numbers and mission, but a daily focus on one meaningful interaction with Christ has to be a difference maker. One friend, one family member, one co-worker, one person at a time. We want to see God move our nation like we have never seen before, but it all starts with one. After a few months, there's nothing that we can do that is quite as effective at reaching people as simply equipping our members to carry the gospel to people outside of the church. It's not programs that reach people. It's not mailers that reach people. It's not sermons that reach people. It's people that reach people. And it is individual people having a relationship with one person that they're using a relational bridge to share the gospel with them and move the gospel out in front of them. That is the heart of the Great Commission. It's multiplying disciples, making multiplying disciples. So my one is a guy that is one of my high school daughter's teachers. And we just really hit it off. He's not from the United States. He's new to Christianity. He's got a ton of questions. And in the last 6 months or so, he's accepted two of my invitations to come. And I come to one of our church services. I invited him recently to begin reading the Gospel of John with me, which he said, I sat down to read the Gospel of John, just a chapter or two. He said, Tom, I got up from my chair, but the entire thing, and showed me that he's pages and pages of notes and questions. He said, I can't wait to discuss. He's ready to start coming to church regularly now, so I'm praying that the day will soon come when I'll see him express faith in Christ. I've got my one, and now I'm challenging you and your church to join us and find yours. Because ultimately, the only one that really matters is one. Who's your one?
Again, every one of us knows somebody who needs to come to faith in Christ Jesus. And the challenge is for every one of us to know that, to have that one, and to be praying for them. Lyman Becker was one of the great theologians and scholars in his day. And he was considered to be one of the greatest thinkers and minds in the world. Someone asked him the question, Mr. Becker, what is the greatest thing anyone could do on this earth? What is the greatest thing that any one person could do on this earth? He thought about that for a minute, pondered it, and he said, friend, the greatest thing anyone could ever do is not to be a rocket scientist or a medical doctor or a worldwide leader as a president, but the greatest single thing anyone could ever do is to bring another human being to faith in Christ Jesus. I don't know what your career goals are. I don't know what you wake up to do and to be every day in life. But I'm telling you, the single greatest thing that anyone could ever do is to share Jesus with another individual so that that individual can come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. That's what I want to encourage you as a church. For a year now, we've talked about building relationships. We've talked about the importance of one-on-one conversations with people, meeting people, all of those things. And so for the next several weeks now, we are going to look into God's Word again, emphasizing the importance of one individual bringing another individual to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I want to encourage you not only to pray for them, I want you to write down on your Who's Your One prayer card. It's got a place where you can write your one's name down. Write their name down, and then I want you to read through those scriptures and pray for them every day for these 30 days. I know that when you pray for individuals, you'll become more intense in sharing Jesus with them. And then I want to encourage you to invite them to come. So we're going to spend these several weeks looking in Scripture, and then I'm going to spend the last several weeks of that time sharing then the gospel of Jesus Christ to help you help your one come to know Christ Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Dahati Lewis was over our church planting at North American Mission Board for a while, and now he's moved into another endeavor, still planting churches. But he says this about Christianity. He says, Christianity is about three relationships. It's about your relationship with Jesus Christ yourself, and it's about your relationship with other believers, and it's about your relationship with people who don't know Jesus yet. And oftentimes we spend a great deal of time and energy building our relationship with Christ, read our Bibles, pray, all those kind of things. We spend a great bit of effort in building our relationships with one another, coming to church and, you know, doing all the things that we do. But the relationship that we neglect the most is the relationship with people that don't know Jesus yet. So I want to encourage you this morning. Follow along with me this morning in John chapter 1. In the Gospel of John, in the first chapter, John begins his gospel describing the very early beginning days of Jesus' ministry that were marked by John the Baptist, as John the Baptist identified him as being the Lamb that would take away the sins of the world. But I want to pick up in verse 35. This is after Jesus has been baptized by John the Baptist. And it says in verse 35, it says, again, the next day, John the Baptist, with his two disciples, or with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "teacher, where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now, it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon, and he said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. Then the following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip. And he said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida and the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, and he said to him, "Behold, an Israelite in thee, in whom is no deceit." And Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." In this passage, John records for us the calls of Jesus' first disciples into salvation. We have the privilege of reading this little brief account here, and we see John, and we see Andrew, and we see Simon Peter, and we see men like Philip and Nathaniel. We see how they came to identify and recognize Jesus as the Christ, as the Messiah, as the promised one. But this morning, I want us to focus a little bit on the sequence of events here. Notice that Jesus called John. Jesus goes to John the Baptist, and John identifies Jesus, and they're even though they're cousins, John points to Jesus as being the Messiah, and then John tells his disciples, one of which is Andrew, he says, "Hey, look, there's Jesus. There's the one that you need to be following." And then Andrew, after identifying Jesus as being the Christ, he then goes to his brother, Peter. Then Peter follows the Lord. And now we see where Jesus then goes to Philip. Philip begins to follow the Lord. And then Philip goes and finds his friend Nathaniel. And Nathaniel comes to follow the Lord. You see the sequence there? It's one person meeting Jesus, telling another person that they met Jesus, and that person coming to meet Jesus. Isn't that like rocket science this morning? Amen? It's amazing how God designed this plan for one person at a time to share with another, and they come to know Christ. Each of these disciples reached one by one. That's how God's designed it from the beginning of time. I want you to see this morning four invitations in the scripture here. Four invitations. We talk about inviting friends to Jesus. So here's four invitations. Notice, first of all, John's invitation. John the Baptist's invitation. Here in verse 35, he says to his disciples, he says, "Look, behold, the Lamb of God." And two of his disciples heard and they followed Jesus. He introduced his disciples to the Lord Jesus. John the Baptist was the forerunner. He was the one that was going to point people to Christ. It's a good thing for us to be mindful this morning. It's not about the preacher. It's about who the preacher's preaching about. It's not about Bill Wright. And it's not about Trinity Baptist Church. It's about Jesus Christ. Later in John chapter 3 in verse 30, in that passage there, some of John's disciples will come to John and they will say, "Hey, John, I don't know if you know it or not, but a lot of people are leaving you and they're going to follow Jesus." This is how we know John the Baptist was not really a Baptist preacher, but he was just identified as being John the Baptist because he baptized people, okay? If he'd have been a Baptist preacher, he'd have said, "Really? We got to do something about that. We got to make sure people are following me, not Jesus," right? No. John says this in verse 30. He says, "I must decrease that he might increase." John says, "Hey guys, there's one I'm not even worthy to loosen the straps of his sandal. That's the guy you need to follow. I'm a nobody, but you need to go follow him." Too often in our Christian walk, we're trying to be somebody instead of just pointing folks to Jesus. In John chapter 1, earlier in verse 7, it says, "This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world." Listen, we bear witness of the light. We're not the light. It's not about us. We're just to point people to the light. And then again, look what he says there in verse 30 in the verses just previous to that. He says, "This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." Listen, friends, all I can tell you is what I've experienced, what I've seen. All I can tell you is the difference that Jesus has made in my life. The Apostle John, in his own personal testimony, in 1 John chapter 1, in 1 John chapter 1, in the first verse, it says, "That which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon with our hands, and have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen, and we bear witness, and we declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." John says, I'm not telling you about something that I've heard about. I'm not telling you some theory. I'm not trying to tell you some religious ideology. I'm just trying to tell you about a man that I met, that I touched with my hands, that I had conversation with, who has impacted my life. That's what I'm trying to share with you. And friend, oftentimes, it's hard for us to invite somebody to Jesus when we hadn't met Jesus ourselves. John says, I'm just trying to tell you about the guy who's changed my life. Amen? Pointing people to Jesus, not to people to ourselves. Listen, we're to invite and introduce people to Jesus whom we've met, whom we've heard, whom we've seen, who we've touched with our own hands, who we've experienced in our own life. But there's a second invitation in the scripture, and it's Andrew's invitation to his brother. He says there in verse 40, then one of the two, Andrew, goes. He finds his brother, Simon Peter, and he brings him to Jesus. It is a picture of a brother bringing a brother to Jesus. Now, let's just be real honest with each other this morning. Sometimes it's hard for us to invite our family, right? Our family knows us, right? Our family knows the real us. And sometimes the real us gets in the way of being effective in inviting our own family to Jesus. But that's what Andrew does. You know, one of the interesting things about Andrew in Scripture, Andrew is mentioned three times by name in Scripture. And every time that Andrew is mentioned by name, he's bringing somebody to Jesus. Isn't that incredible? Think about it. In John chapter, here in 1 John, or in John chapter 1, he's bringing Simon. And then later in John chapter 6, Jesus is out there in the wilderness preaching to them on the side of the mountain. And they say, hey, Jesus, these folks are getting hungry. What are we going to do? And he says, well, what have you got? And Andrew comes and says, hey, I got this young guy here. And he's got some fishes and he's got some loaves. And so he introduces Jesus to this young boy. He introduces this young boy to Jesus. And Jesus uses what this young boy has and feeds the multitude. And then later in John chapter 12, Andrew's bringing some Greeks, some non-Jews to Jesus. And that's only three times that Andrew's mentioned in Scripture. And so every time Andrew is mentioned, he's bringing people to Jesus. And so we see here how instinctive and how natural, and it was just what Andrew did in his life. Less than 24 hours after following Jesus himself, he's bringing his brother to Christ. Now, we've got this mindset today that, you know, when we come to know Christ, we've got to take all these classes, we've got to do all this training, we've got to be educated, and it's years before we're qualified to tell somebody about Jesus. What I have realized in my life is that sharing Jesus is like one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. I want to encourage you this morning. You don't need to memorize a Bible verse. Andrew didn't quote any scripture. You don't need a track. You don't need any tools. You don't need to go to class. You don't need to go to training. All you need to do is be able to tell people what Jesus has done for you. Tell your story to them. We're going to talk about that in a few weeks, about telling your story. But here's Andrew, less than 24 hours, and he's bringing his brother to Jesus. Now, a number of commentators here believe that the original language here really suggests that John, the writer of the gospel here, was the other unnamed disciple of John the Baptist. And so he's involved in sharing Christ with these. Listen, before the day was over, the Christian church had doubled. It went from Andrew to Andrew and Simon Peter. It had doubled in numbers in one day. You know, follow this math, okay? Do you realize that if each one of us reached one, we would double in number in one day? I can see your jaws drop. You never thought about that, right? See, we've got this concept of where we're trying to grow churches, and we're hiring preachers, and we're hiring entertainers, and we're hiring